taking the over or under? What about the favorite or the underdog? There's a lot to break down for your sports betting pleasure. This is The Money Line with your hosts, Ryan Porth and Chase McCabe, powered by TwinSpire Sportsbook on Nashville's best sports talk,
ESPN
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
It's a Friday. That means it is The Money Line here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Ryan Porth and Chase McCabe here with you for another hour of talking all things sports betting. And we have a heavy football flavor here coming up. Chase, last week it was the AFC East and the NFC Least with our NFL division previews here on the show. And tonight we've got the West divisions in both the AFC and the NFC.
And the NFC best. That's what I call it, because I think the NFC West is the best division in football. I don't think the AFC West is too shabby by any means, but some question marks for sure. But yeah, it'll be fun to talk about.
Yeah, so Alan Bell of Sportsline is going to be joining us here in just a matter of minutes to kickstart that conversation on both West divisions. We'll also get into the Field of Dreams game last night. What a spectacle in Iowa. We'll get to that here in just a couple of minutes. But Chase, we have to start with our locks of the week. First of all, both of us got our locks last week. You moved to 12-3. You had the Nashville SC versus Miami over 2.5 goals.
Mm-hmm.
Miami gets the late goal to get the win, but also to get you the over. So you got your lock. I got my lock from the Oakland A's run line against the Texas Rangers with an extra innings walk-off homer from Starling Marte to cover the 1.5. So
you were sweating a little.
My lock was on life support, and then it survived. So where are we going with our locks? We're going to start the show with it. I know my lock is a game that starts here in just a minute.
So you go first.
In Philadelphia. All right, I'll go first. So I am going against my own team here with my lock.
Oh.
I'm going with a lot of different things in tonight's Phillies Reds game. But my lock of the night is Phillies first five innings money line.
Okay.
It is Zach Wheeler on the mound for the Philadelphia Phillies, who is now becoming the favorite for the NL Cy Young. Tyler Mahle for the Reds, he can be hit and missed. But here's why, Chase, I really like the first five innings. Zach Wheeler is holding opposing hitters to a 182 average the first time through the order and a 211 average in the second time through. And the Reds suck in Philadelphia. They just flat out suck when it comes to facing the Phillies on the road. So I am going with the Phillies first five innings. I also like Wheeler over 6.5 strikeouts. I love the Phillies money line because the Phillies are 33-13 in their last 46 home games against the Reds. So keep that in mind, but the lock is the first five innings money line for the Phillies tonight in Philly.
Well, I hope your team, the Reds, win that game and sweep the series. That would do me a solid as a Braves fan. But just thinking with my head and not my heart, I don't think
don't hold your breath.
Yeah, I don't think it's a bad play from a betting standpoint. So mine, I've had a lot of luck with soccer lately, as you know.
Oh, yes,
with the MLS.
All right.
However. My game starts at 5:30 in the morning, our time, because the EPL is back, baby.
Yes.
So I am going with English Premier League game and, you know, one of the best teams in the EPL. I feel like this is going to be pretty easy. Man U, -190 against Leeds. Leeds is +480. Give me Man U. They win this thing. Not worried about over-unders this week, just the W. So I will take Manchester United.
Man, you're going with your lock as a -190.
Yeah.
Okay.
Really going out on a limb there.
You are. You really are.
But it's the first game. It's their first game of the year. You never know. A little shaky. But
all right. We will allow it here on the program, here on the money line. So, all right. Well, those are our locks of the week. We usually do that at the end of the show, but we decided to kick off the show with our locks of the week here this week. By the way, before we get to Alan Bell, the Field of Dreams game last night may have been, it was definitely my most successful night since game five of the Stanley Cup final when Tampa Bay beat Montreal. It was,
I would have thought your wedding night would have been your most successful night, but whatever.
Well, game five of Tampa Bay Montreal happened after the wedding night. And I said since.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's true. Yes. All right.
Yes. So since then, in early July, it was a big night, let me just tell you. And thank you to Tim Anderson for the additional hit in the box score to allow the parlay to hit. And, you know, with his walk-off homer there in the ninth.
Also that was good for you. That was a big moment for you.
White Sox money line also hit Tim Anderson home run as a single bet. It was a good night last night. And now quickly, I want to get your thought. Do I flip half of the profit and put it on White Sox to win the World Series at plus 600?
I like the value at plus 600. I just don't think anybody's beating the Dodgers. I think
the White Sox can.
I don't know. I think
the White Sox can. Speaking of the Field of Dreams game, Alan Bell of Sportsline is joining us here on the program. Alan, thank you so much for joining us here this evening on the Moneyline.
Boys, doing fantastic. Y'all doing all right?
I mean, it's a Friday night. We're talking sports betting. What's much better than that, right?
And there's preseason football.
It's fantastic.
What's that, Chase?
I said, and there's preseason football on, so, you know, you got to love that.
I know. The Titans and Falcons getting ready to kick off down there in the ATL. But, Alan, we were just talking about the Field of Dreams, and what a spectacle last night. One of the coolest sporting events that I think any of us have ever seen. Do you feel like ahead of time that the sports books took enough advantage of it? And I bring that up because I didn't see a ton of promos going around the different sports books, you know, to do this, to get that, or, you know, different odds boosts on the Field of Dreams game itself. I felt like a lot of the sports books treated it like a normal regular season game.
Yeah, they did. And I think the reason being is this is, first, let me say, it was fantastic. I loved all of it. The way that it ended on a walk-off home run. I mean, it literally, you couldn't have scripted it any better, right? So I want to make sure that I say that. But I did not like the fact that we've had 2 years, essentially, to build this thing up. And we put it up against two NFL preseason games, right? Like,
yeah,
you know, and again, I know that it's only preseason, but I think that that had a lot to do with it because you saw books that, you know, the handles were larger on the preseason games than they were for that game. Like in terms of the sports books, it was legitimately same numbers as other Major League Baseball games. Now the TV ratings were fantastic, but yeah, I didn't like that aspect. So I thought that you saw sports books jump in all on the NFL and especially with the markets that you had, if you had two games Thursday night, you had the Steelers, Eagles, Patriots and Washington. Those are four massive, massive fan base markets that garner a lot of bets. So long story short, I think they focused their efforts there. If the Field of Dreams game would have happened 2 weeks ago, they would have gone all in on it because you had kind of a singular night for it. When you have other NFL games going on, you know, they know where their money is, right? And that's where they put their marketing towards.
Well, I mean, you're also talking about four baseball markets. I mean, yep. Pittsburgh, Philly, Boston, D.C. So not only NFL.
Not to interrupt you. I think you bring up an excellent point, too. Okay, so we're going to put you in charge of it, okay, for next year. All right, same place. But do you set that game like a singular baseball game? Like almost like an all-star game. Would you play that game without any other baseball teams? Because just like you said, I think you bring up an excellent point that nobody's talking about, that you've got, you know, people betting on their own teams or other games, right? Like, so if you were running it next year, would you put that as a singular game?
Yes, but I would do it in like June or late July. I would not mess with August because if you do it 1 week before on a Thursday night, you're messing with the Hall of Fame game. In Canton, you know, you probably have to do it at a natural start of a series within the baseball schedule, just like they did, because they're off tonight. They're traveling back to Chicago and then two games at New Comiskey I would do it earlier in the summer. Yeah. That's my thought.
That makes sense. Like, it absolutely makes sense. You know, and you know, if they do that next season, like, I'm interested to see the change in numbers, you know, in terms of what the TV numbers look like and then also the betting handles as well. So, yeah, I think you bring up an excellent point that I haven't seen anybody bring up in regards to that. Yeah.
This is the Money Line powered by Twin Spire Sportsbook here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Ryan Poore, Chase McCabe, joined by Alan Bell of Sportsline. Alan, we're previewing the AFC and NFC West divisions here on this this program tonight. And the first team I think anyone thinks of out of either division is the Fighting Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. Their over-under is set at 12.5. And I was reading something here recently where the Chiefs under Andy Reid, whatever their Vegas win total has been preseason, they have gone over every single season. So do you feel like Vegas is undervaluing the Chiefs, not only in the win total, but some of their props as well?
Yeah, so yeah, excellent stat. You're right. Yeah, I think it's 8-0, right? Here's the thing with I think that Vegas is actually kind of undervaluing a little bit because we saw it open up at 12. So we have a 17-game season this year, and I have kind of an applesauce brain, so I have to take kind of a weird look at this. So when I was looking at it, when it opened, I said, okay, 17 games, opening number is 12. That means that the Chiefs can lose 5 games, and we still push, okay? So now it goes up to 12.5. So obviously that number, you know, drops down to 4. Do the Chiefs lose 4 games? I mean, maybe. I don't know. Like, I mean, they were legitimately an offensive line away from winning a Super Bowl, and they spent $200 million on that offensive line this offseason, right? So I think that 12 is an excellent number if you could get it there. 12.5, I'd still feel comfortable there too. I think that, you know, all things considered, if they stay healthy, I don't see any reason. I don't see anyone in the AFC West that's going to, you know, take charge and take them down. I think that it's going to be kind of similar how the Titans in the AFC South, that not saying that they're just going to run through it, you know, and go undefeated, but if you've got 2 games, you know, for the Titans against the Texans, the Jaguars, right, and then maybe a winless Colts, you feel pretty good about it. So the AFC West, they're going to probably rack up out of those 6 games at least 5. So yeah, like I think that 12.5 is still a good overplay.
Alan Bell is with us from Sportsline, and you, I know you didn't mean to say this, but you say make a charge towards the Chiefs. The only team that I think could have any type of chance, and I give it a very, very small one, would be the LA Chargers. Now, I don't know if this is because I'm drinking the Kool-Aid. A lot of people are drinking the Justin Herbert Kool-Aid. They like what they did last year, and they think, okay, yeah, this is going to be a pretty good team. But I still think it's the Chiefs' division to win, and they'll win it by a lot. But I'm intrigued by the Chargers.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, you look at the prices to win the AFC West. The Chiefs are a favorite, minus 275. Chargers plus 500. Broncos plus 600. Raiders plus 1,800. So just get rid of the Raiders right there. You got the Chargers and the Broncos essentially at the same price, and you see how large of a favorite that the Chiefs are. I'm with you. I think the Chargers are a better overall team. I think that they have a better quarterback. I think that they have better offensive weapons, and I think that they have better defensive weapons. So, yeah, if there were any team in this division, I think that it would be him. I'm interested to see what Herbert looks like. Is there a regression in the second year, or does he kind of take the Josh Allen approach and get better? If he is just even of what Herbert was last year, the Chargers are way better than the Denver Broncos. And I don't say that negative against, you know, Denver by any means. I mean, I like Drew Lock and I like some of their picks, but I think the Chargers are just better set up for success. So yeah, Chase, I'm with you. If there were anybody, a nice pun, by the way, you know, to make a charge for that division, yeah, I'd put my money on Los Angeles before I would Denver and especially Las Vegas.
So 9, that's probably right around where they could be, or could you see them hitting double digit wins?
Well, okay, so you know, let's take the inverse of what we just talked about, right? So you're going to have to go up. You're going to play the Chiefs twice.
Yep.
So we already know that. And then you're going to play the Raiders twice, and you're going to play the Broncos twice. Okay? So if you could split, let's just say you lose 2 to the Chiefs, but you split, you know, 1 with Las Vegas, 1 with Denver, okay? Well, that's only 2 wins. Now you've got to go out and you've got to find them. So it's tough. you know, and we talk about a 17 game season, winning 9 games, that's 9-8 now, right? So, you know, do they win, excuse me, you know, 8 or less games? I don't know if I would bet on that. It would have to be a really, really attractive number for me to do it. And that's nothing negative. They're probably right around that. That's probably a really sharp number, but I don't think that I would bet it. I need to see more.
I want to jump over to the NFC because a team that I'm really curious about, the Seattle Seahawks. We know there were the reports in the offseason that Russell Wilson wanted out, and maybe there was a disconnect there between Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson. I mean, this is a team that is a perennial contender. They've won the Super Bowl there. They're always there, but now you got the Rams that everybody's talking about with Matthew Stafford. You got the 49ers that are supposedly going to be better and be healthy. Arizona is making a run to build something. So what exactly is Seattle going to be at this point? And still a lot of books are saying they're somewhere between 9.5 and 10 wins on the year.
Yeah. So, I mean, it, you know, it's impossible to just take them out of the picture. I mean, you know, Russell Wilson alone, you know, can carry a team. I'm not saying that he's going to win a Super Bowl, but the dude is that good, right? And the Seahawks and Pete Carroll, like, they know what they're doing. They have a well-oiled machine. It doesn't always look beautiful, but they get the job done. But you're looking at a division where legitimately it's the toughest division in the NFL, all right, where you have the Rams at plus 190 to win it, the 49ers plus 190 tied with them, Seahawks plus 275, and the Cardinals plus 600. So it kind of goes to show at least those top three teams how tight that it is. And you talk about having to play against those teams. Yeah, the Cardinals are in fourth in terms of the odds. But, buddy, good luck, man. Like, Arizona's good. They're better than people think. And I think Cliff and Kyler are going to take a step up. So, man, it's just hard. It's literally a rock fight out there. And I don't know who's going to come out. If I had to put my money on it, I would lean more San Francisco than anyone. I think that they have an overall better roster than all the other teams in that division. We'll see about the quarterback position, but Jimmy Garoppolo has got to play for, you know, a contract somewhere else. And even if he doesn't work out, Trey Lance looks like he might be the truth. Obviously the Rams have, you know, a tremendous defense and Stafford coming in. So, I mean, it's just going to be a really, really tough division, but you know, like we said, you can't ever count them out. That's the tough part. And the minute that you think that they're down, like they're kind of like the Steelers, like the minute that you count them out and you're down on them, dude, they just go on a run. So, yeah, we'll see.
Alan Bell of Sportsline is here with us on the Money Line, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Ryan Porth and Chase McCabe here with you. So, Alan, when you look at the L.A. Rams, they bring in Matthew Stafford. They've got McGenius at head coach. They've got, you know, Aaron Donald, a future Hall of Famer, anchoring that defense. Do you see any reason why, assuming full health, why they would not hit an over of 10.5?
Honestly, not. Because I think that this was the best place for Matthew Stafford to go because he doesn't have to do everything. Like, let's remember, you know, like, you know, just said, you know, McGenius, Sean McVay, absolutely an offensive wizard. But they don't win games, you know, in shootouts, you know, 40-39. They have one hell of a defense. They're going to make you earn and grind just to get to 20 points. And they're perfectly fine running the ball all game long. And I know that they lost Cam Akers, but they've got three other running backs at any point that they're ready to go with. Darrell Henderson is going to be their number one this year, the kid out of Memphis. And yeah, like teams that are built that run and play excellent defense, like I believe in that. Right. So if you're looking at 10.5, and I think the 49ers are around that number as well. No, like I absolutely believe in it. You know, I think that it would take a Matthew Stafford injury for the season and early. You know what I mean? To where they just don't have the backup cue to come in and replace that. But again, I think it's going to be great for Stafford because he doesn't have to do everything. He doesn't have to throw it 40 times a game. He can throw it 19, 20 times, and they can run it 25 times and be completely content doing that. So, yeah, I feel great with that number.
So by some metrics, the Niners are bound to face the easiest schedule this season. If you want to look at, you know, team win totals and look at what they're facing versus the other teams, a lot of metrics are saying they're going to face the easiest schedule. So, Alan, when you take a look at metrics like that, how much do you factor that into a preseason win total bet versus someone who might be facing the toughest schedule? But we all know schedules in May, June, July, and August look tougher or easier than they turn out to be.
Yeah. So that data absolutely helps. Like, it's not the end all be all, but yeah, I mean, I will absolutely put that in my arsenal. I'll look at that. I'll look in terms of, you know, total travel distance for teams. I think all of these things add up, right? And you look at, you know, where's their bye located? How many teams are they playing that's coming off of a bye, et cetera. Like, you're not going to take one and just live off of that. But as they start to check each box, you're saying, okay, these things are kind of aligning. And they just came off of a year where legitimately I've never seen a team go down like they did in terms of their start. I think they had 21 players on injured reserve by like week 10. It was insanity, right? Like, so, yeah. I mean, the odds of anything like that happening again the next season are very low. So I believe in what they want to do. And the same thing we talked about with the Rams. Kyle Shanahan loves to run the ball too, aggressively, right? So, yeah, like I'll take all those into account, but I believe in the 49ers too, man. I think that this is a really, really good team. And if they get Trey Lance in there and he looks like the kid that we think that he's going to be, and he's looked in, you know, training camp so far, dude, look out, because he can run that offense of exactly what Kyle Shanahan wants to do.
All right, Alan, as we wrap this up, one team that we haven't really mentioned, which is ironic because we're talking betting and they're in Las Vegas, but the Raiders. Derek Carr, I feel like, gets disrespected more than anybody. And do I think he's an elite quarterback? No, but I think he's pretty solid, and he puts up pretty solid numbers. The Gruden thing continues to be an ongoing experiment, but they did make some noise towards the end of last year. I would say the NFC West is the toughest division, but the AFC West – looks like it could be pretty tough just because the Chiefs are there. But what are the Raiders?
That's an excellent question. I think Gruden and Mayock are trying to figure that out as well, right? You look at the last 2-3 drafts, or, you know, the two that they've had. I mean, they go after well-known players from Alabama, Clemson, SEC schools. Like, these are guys they put together. I think if Henry Ruggs turns out to be the wide receiver that he was, that's going to absolutely help Derek Carr. And like you said, elite quarterbacks, there's what? Three, maybe. Like, it's okay to be, sure, you know, in that 3 to 10 to 12 range, which I think Derek Carr's somewhere probably, you know, at the lower tier of that, but that's good. It's a good place to be. I think that they've definitely got to work on their defense. They've got to shore not only the front seven, but the secondary up. They've got work to do. There's a reason why their odds are that low, but I'm with you, man. Like, I like Derek Carr. I like him more than most. We're going to see what Josh Jacobs can do running the ball, because Gruden definitely likes to pound it. And if you could take any pressure off of Derek Carr, you're going to be all the better for it. Just the tough part for them, again, back to that division, you got to play two against Kansas City. We'll see what Denver is. We think that the Chargers are going to be pretty good. So if you start kind of going over in the division, like, you run into a brick wall pretty quickly, because it's tough to find wins elsewhere. So, yeah, like, I think that the question, Chase, that you just asked, we might be asking that at the end of the season, and they could have a good year. Yeah. And we're still asking that of what exactly is this team?
Well, and I think this too. Derek Carr has 2 years, including this one, left on the contract. But next year, there's no dead cap hit. And so they could get out of it. And I think if Rodgers is available, I believe that Gruden and Mayock are going to be flying to wherever Aaron Rodgers is to make a pitch to try and get him to close out his career in Vegas.
That's a great point. I haven't even thought about that. They would love it. You know Gruden would love it. You know Mayock would love it. Seeing Aaron Rodgers in silver and black, dude, that would be wild, man. But you know what? Yeah, California, like, I mean, he would relish that, and he would have fun with it. It'd be fun to see him just – pure heel, just you know what I'm saying? Just live it, be it. It would be fantastic, man. That'd be a lot of fun.
It'd be a lot of fun to see him run the spider 2Y banana with Gruden. So Alan Bell of Sportsline has been our guest here this evening. Alan, hey, thank you so much for hanging out with us and talking some betting.
Oh, gosh, appreciate you guys. Thank you so much for having me on, and yeah, look forward to talking to you guys soon.
All right, that's Alan Bell of Sportsline. Coming up next, we will get to the AFC West. The Chiefs, the Chargers, the Broncos, the Raiders, all of that is on the other side. He's Chase McCabe. I'm Ryan Porth. You're listening to The Moneyline, powered by TwinSpire Sportsbook on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game National app. Y'all ready for this? Welcome back in. It's The Moneyline. Ryan Porth and Chase McCabe here with you on Hello. ESPN 102.5 The Game. Chase, it was good having Alan Bell on last segment to talk all things AFC and NFC West, as those are the two divisions that we are previewing here this evening in our line of NFL division previews leading up to week one. So let's look at the AFC West, and I want to start with the Denver Broncos because we go in alphabetical order on this program. Their over-under is set at 8.5 for the Broncos. You're wincing. You don't like that, do you?
Okay. You know, I was really high on Teddy Bridgewater last year, and that turned out to not be a good thing. Everybody that we've talked to on Darren Donovan Chase seems to feel like it's going to be the Teddy B show. It's not going to be Drew Lock. I don't think Drew Lock's very good, but obviously I think they were banking on getting Aaron Rodgers. Now, you do have some guys back on defense, Von Miller being one of them. That's certainly going to help. Vic Fangio, in my opinion, is fighting for his job, so they have to be successful. The problem is you play in the same division as the Kansas City Chiefs and the upstart Chargers that everybody's excited about. But the good news, if you look at their schedule, they're at the Giants, not good. At Jags, not good. New York Jets, not good. And then you get the Ravens. And so you have to take advantage of those first three games, especially, and then Baltimore, Pittsburgh, Vegas. So their schedule is not the end all be all. But with that said, I'm going to take the under.
Yeah. Can you really trust the Broncos to take advantage of all those games that you just rattled off?
Yeah, no.
Like, seriously.
No.
And you mentioned how Drew Lock isn't very good. Well, Teddy Bridgewater really isn't either.
Yeah.
I mean, he's serviceable at best, but he's not a great quarterback. Couple things to keep in mind here. Vic Fangio, he's combined for 12 wins in his first two seasons as head coach. I don't like that trend. And in the 10 seasons without Peyton Manning as quarterback since 2005, the Broncos have gone over 8.5 wins just twice.
Mm.
So if you take the Peyton Manning block out of it, they've only hit 8.5 twice, over 8.5 twice since 2005. I don't really think they got all that much better this offseason. Give me the under 8.5 for the Broncos.
So we are both on the under.
We are both on the under. All right, the Kansas City Chiefs. We talked about the Chiefs with Alan Bell. They're over-under set at 12.5. Chase, this is awfully enticing because, as I brought up with Alan Bell, the Chiefs have hit the over of their win total in all eight seasons with Andy Reid as head coach.
Yeah, Andy Reid knows how to get it done. I know this is kind of bad or dangerous, not bad, dangerous to say, but this is pretty easy for me. Give me the over. I just think Kansas City is that good. I believe they are going to, you know, some teams will take how they lost in the Super Bowl, and it's a hangover. It's a hangover in a bad way. I actually think this is a hangover in a good way. I think you're going to see motivation like you did when Mahomes and the Chiefs lost to the Patriots in the AFC Championship game. What did they do the next year? They came back, they ran roughshod through the league, and they won their first Super Bowl in a very, very long time. And Andy Reid won his first Super Bowl. So I kind of feel like that's going to be the case here. Schedule's not easy. I mean, Cleveland's going to give them a test right out of the gates, because I think Cleveland's going to end up being pretty good, and then at Baltimore. But and I wouldn't be shocked if they split with the Chargers, but I still think I will take the over.
Well, one thing to keep in mind with the schedule, the Chiefs only play one Monday Night Football game this season, and they face three teams on their schedule that are coming off a Monday Night game before they play the Chiefs. So they have a favorable schedule in that sense, even though the actual opposition might be a little tough. Patrick Mahomes, 38-8 as a starting quarterback. I mean, I'm with you. This is over. This is over. The only reason why I think it's lower than 13 and like a flat 13 is just as a protection in case they suffer a major injury that might cause them to go 11-6 or 12-5. But if Mahomes, Kelsey, Hill, Edwards-Helaire, if they all stay healthy, I think that over hits. A couple of season-long props that I'm looking at with the Chiefs, Chase. These are ones that you are only going to get at this good of value now. If you wait until midseason or at the end of the season, I don't think the value is going to be near as good as it is now. And that is Patrick Mahomes for MVP at plus 450 on the TwinSpire Sportsbook. The Super Bowl at plus 475 on the TwinSpire Sportsbook. And AFC victory to represent the AFC in the Super Bowl at plus 250. We all know the AFC runs through Kansas City. So I think those are all intriguing plays at this point in the calendar because they're only going to migrate towards even odds or even minus odds as the months go along here.
Yeah, no, I agree with everything you just said on that because that's some good value. If that's exactly what happens, I mean, I think we'd both agree the AFC is the stronger conference of the two. You got Kansas City, you got Buffalo, you got the Titans that, you know, who knows what the Titans are. I mean, a lot of people view them as like a fourth seed of winning the division, but I still think, you know, they're pretty good. And then if, you know, within their division, if you got the Chargers that are the sexy pick, like everybody thinks, if Miami is something, if New England comes back, I mean, there's just a lot of potential there in the AFC, but I like the value with those.
Another one to keep an eye on, most wins in the regular season, plus 400. That could have some good value as well. All right, we've spoken a lot about the Chargers. The Chargers are an intriguing team. Mm-hmm. They've got a new coach. They've got a second-year quarterback that everyone's drooling over with Justin Herbert because rightfully so. He had an amazing rookie year, 31 touchdowns, 10 picks. We'll see if he can take a step forward and not a step back here in his sophomore season in the NFL. Their over-under feels like it's right there, 9.5. This is a tough one, Chase.
It's a very tough one because I really want to say they're a 10-win team to be able to surpass that. And, you know, the first two games of their schedule are favorable to them. At the football team, Cowboys in LA. But then you got to go to Kansas City in week 3. Then you got to play the Raiders at home, Browns at home, at the Ravens. That's not easy by any means. Patriots at Eagles, Vikings, Steelers. There are 10 wins on this schedule. It's just, can they actually be what everybody hopes they can be, and does Herbert not have the sophomore slump? I'm going to be consistent. I'm a believer in the Chargers. I'm going to take the over, but I understand how difficult it truly is for everything to play out, especially having to play Kansas City twice.
Well, and we'll see if the Chargers can actually win games in, you know, the last couple of minutes of the fourth quarter, because we all know they find ways to lose games in the last 2 minutes of a game.
That's why Anthony Lynn's not there anymore.
Well, this is true. Nor is Phillip Rivers. So maybe a new regime with Brandon Staley at head coach for the LA Chargers. Perhaps this can be a breakthrough season. I'm also going over. I'm a huge believer in Justin Herbert. One thing that I'm eyeing big time is 20-1 NFL MVP odds for Justin Herbert. And I look at that with the ceiling. What is Justin Herbert's ceiling? What is the best case scenario? The best case scenario is that Justin Herbert takes another step. If he takes another step, he's going to be in the MVP conversation if the Chargers are a playoff team. And 20-1 odds right now for Justin Herbert, I think that is pretty good value for someone with the talent like him. One prop that I'm looking at as well is Austin Eckler under 850 and a half rushing yards. Austin Eckler has never come close. He has never come close to that number. He's never exceeded 600 in his career.
Yeah.
So that is a high number in my opinion. And I think their improved offensive line should help Justin Jackson more than it helps Austin Eckler. So I would go under there. That is a pretty big play for me with Austin Eckler. So the Chargers, we're both high on the Chargers. We'll see if the drinking of the Kool-Aid pays off at the end of the season. You know what team I'm not drinking the Kool-Aid of?
The Raiders.
At all, it's the Raiders. 6.5 is their win total going into the season. Chase, do you have a lean either way for the Fighting John Grudens?
What did you say that over-under was? Say it one more time.
6.5
6.5 And he's been there how long now? I mean, that's the bar that we've set for Gruden and this ungodly contract that he has. And it's only 6.5 And he's in year 4, I think is what
I believe year 4. Right.
Yeah. And I, you know, he moved all that stuff. The Davises, Mark Davis has dumped a lot of money into this team. Yeah, I'm going under. I mean, I can't believe in the Raiders until they just show it to me. I mean, I could be completely wrong. We could both be completely wrong because I asked that to Alan Bell, what are the Raiders? And we might find, oh, hey, they're pretty good. You know, they were knocking on the door last year. I think Derek Carr does get a bad rap. I think he, like I said, he's not elite, but I think he's better than most people give him credit for. It's just using the pieces around him, and I don't think he's got a very good head coach, and I think he's got a guy that I really liked on the NFL Network, but I don't know how I feel about him as a GM. So I just don't have a lot of faith in them.
I'm going under as well. I mean, their defense sucks. They have one of the toughest schedules in the league this season. The AFC West, I think, is a little better than it was last year.
Yep.
I mean, we all know the Raiders sometimes trick their way into a 7 or 8 win season when you're expecting less from them. But I just don't see it with this team. I just don't. I'm also going under on the Raiders. And the under 6.5 is 12-6 in the Raiders' last 18 seasons.
Mm. Their bye is week 8, and you might go, hey, that's a good spot for the bye, you know, middle of the season, even with the extra game. Well, here's the problem with that. They got to play the Chiefs twice after the bye.
Oh, yeah. Under 6.5 all right. Well, we agree on all 4 team totals in the AFC West. That's a little scary.
I know.
Real quick, Chiefs are -335 on the TwinSpire Sportsbook to win the division. If it were me, I would parlay the Chiefs winning the division with another division winner that you like, whether it's Tampa Bay, Buffalo, Green Bay, whatever, and try to get better odds and hope both win the division rather than going all in on the Chiefs and paying a lot to get a little.
If you're feeling froggy, you know, slide 10 on the Chargers, but I think it's the Chiefs. I agree with you. Do the parlay thing.
No doubt. All right. That's the AFC West. Coming up next, the NFC West, or as Chase calls them, the NFC Best.
Yeah,
baby. That's on the other side of the Money Line. ESPN 102.5 The Game. Ain't nothing that a bitch can't. Welcome back in to the Money Line, taking you to the top of the hour. Money Line is powered by TwinSpire Sportsbook here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Ryan Porth and Chase McCabe here with you. We spent last segment previewing the AFC West. Now we look at the NFC West. We'll start with the Arizona Cardinals. By the way, Chase, the Arizona Cardinals kick off their preseason tonight at home against the Dallas Cowboys, a game that you can hear on ESPN 102.5 The Game with coverage starting at 8:30. So get excited about that. We are closing in on kickoff of that game.
My Dallas Cowboys, by the way.
Your Dallas Cowboys. I went over on their win total last week.
And I all went right. under.
The Cardinals, who visit the Tennessee Titans in week 1 this season, their win total is set at 8 going into the season. Are you drinking the Kool-Aid of Cliff Kingsbury and Kyler Murray and that exciting team, or are you going to lean under?
This is probably, well, I was going to say this is the toughest one, but it's not. It's tied for the toughest in this division of being able to predict. The thing is, I believe a lot in Kyler Murray. I just don't know if I believe in his head coach. Cliff Kingsbury had Patrick Mahomes in college, couldn't do anything with him. I think that he's here in the league and has shown some flashes, but I just don't know if he has what it takes to really get this team to the next level. And they're at the door now of they need to go up a level. And I just don't think Cliff Kingsbury is the one that can do that. But 8 is right at it. I mean, that is honestly, I could see this being a push, and they're 8-9. That's going to be my prediction. That's what I say. I take okay. The I think they're right there.
All right. You're saying push.
If it's 8.5, under.
I'm going to lean under. I mean, I like Kyler Murray. I like DeAndre Hopkins. That is a tough division.
J.J. Watt.
We'll get to him in a minute. But, like, I don't trust Cliff Kingsbury going up against the Rams, against a healthy Niners team, or Pete Carroll and the Seahawks. I don't think they're going to be able to find enough wins in the division. Give me the under 8. Also, you mentioned J.J. Watt. Give me under 8.5 sacks.
Oh, that's a good bet.
His over-under, 8.5 sacks, I will take the under. The under has hit 4 of his last 5 seasons. All right. The L.A. Rams, 10.5 wins. Which way you leaning, Chase?
Over.
Oh, you were pretty quick on that.
Yep, over. I'm a believer, and it could bite me in the butt, but I'm a believer. I'm a believer in Sean McVay. I'm a believer in Matthew Stafford. I think that Matthew Stafford has always been underrated simply because he played for a crappy organization with crappy teams in Detroit. And so now Jared Goff, who was always overrated, is in Detroit and can deal with that problem. And Matthew Stafford is finally going to be with a team that I think he can help take places. I really like that combination. I think that they are one of the best in the NFC. Anything can happen, but I take the over.
I will also go over. Not that I'm thinking that Matthew Stafford is making the Rams like this bona fide Super Bowl contender that everyone's talking them up to be, but they are pretty stacked just throughout the roster. That is a really good looking team. So I like the Rams over 10.5 as well. I trust them more in an NFC West gauntlet to get some wins out of there than I do, say, the Arizona Cardinals. So
would you call him McGenius?
Yep, that's what I called him.
I like that.
He's McGenius because everybody wants to hire coaches that work with McGenius. So, all right, we're both on the over for the Rams. By the way, talk about a play where you can get good value now and not later is Aaron Donald, 4-1 for Defensive Player of the Year.
Yeah, I would take that.
He's very consistent. Getting into double-digit sacks as an interior defensive lineman, the future Hall of Famer. All right, the San Francisco 49ers, 10.5 wins. Chase, what you thinking?
I'm going to say under. I think this team is going to be good. I think they're going to be better, but they got a problem, and they don't think it's a problem, but it's a problem. When you have two, you don't have one. And I know now, if I truly believed that they were going to go into this year and John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan were going to say, Trey, you're going to ride the pine. You're going to learn and study behind Jimmy G. And then we're going to do like the Chiefs did and turn the car over to you next year. And look how that turned out. Andy Reid looks like an absolute genius. Because Alex Smith played that 1 year, Mahomes backed him up, and then Mahomes took over, and the rest is history. I think that Trey Lance might end up being pretty good, but I could also see them, you know, rushing to him just because, you know, he's looking good in training camp. He's impressive. And can Jimmy G stay healthy? That's the other thing. Can he stay healthy to lead this team? they had a ton of injuries last year. Coming back from that, I even think the schedule's manageable, but I don't know. I my gut tells me take the under, so that's what I'm going to do.
It is the easiest schedule in the National Football League.
Yep.
According to win totals. I know that it always doesn't play out that way, but if they stay healthy, give me the over and to win the division at plus 190. I love this San Francisco 49ers team. I think people are counting out Jimmy G. I think Jimmy G will have one of those seasons where he'll keep Trey Lance on the bench. He's going to play well enough. And the 49ers, I mean, look, they won 13 games just 2 years ago.
No, I know. And
on their way to the Super Bowl.
They had a ton of injuries last year. I wonder if this is going to be too much of a quarterback controversy.
You may be right. I'm going to roll the dice and say you're wrong on this one. And we're going to disagree for the first time on the show with our previews here this evening. I'm going over 10.5 on the San Francisco 49ers. I have an eye on Nick Bosa, Defensive Player of the Year, at 11-1. All right, the Seattle Seahawks, 10 wins is their win total. They are right at it, Chase.
So Russell Wilson is one of my favorite players in the National Football League. I love Russell Wilson. If I am ever blessed enough to have a son, I will tell him he's going to learn a lot about Russell Wilson because I think he's just a good guy. I think Russ is going to pull up his work pants. He's going to put everything, all the rumors, all of that aside, and he's going to go out and he's going to say, hey, y'all, watch this. Give me the over. I am a believer in Seattle. I'm never going to count them out. You know, Titans are going to have a tough test with them. We've talked about this division, that it's a tough division. They got to go to Green Bay as well this year. But the rest of it, I think, is manageable for sure, so I'll take the over.
I'm going under.
Ooh.
I'm going under on the Seahawks. They have not been trending in the right direction here in the last handful of years. You know, ever since they had to pay Russell Wilson that big contract, they have not been able to surround him with enough pieces, you know, not only on offense, but on defense as well. It's a tough division. I'm high on the Niners and the Rams, which means, I mean, they can't all hit over.
Yeah.
So I'm going under on the Seahawks. You know, Russell Wilson, could he have this big year? Sure. But my gut is telling me under, and that it could very well push. I think it's more likely they hit 9 or less than 11 or more.
So the swing teams for us here are the 49ers and the Seahawks, because we have completely opposite views of them.
That is correct.
So that'll be interesting.
Yes, it will be. One over-under to keep an eye on here with player props. Russell Wilson is at 4,250.5 passing yards, 4,250.5. He's never hit the over.
Yeah, no, I'd go under there.
You'd go under?
Yeah.
DK Metcalf, 1,300 receiving yards.
Ooh, that's intriguing.
Isn't it?
I might go over.
I'm thinking the same way.
I wonder if we're talking about DK and AJ Brown, you know, up the top of the league. And now, obviously, the thing with the Titans is they have Julio Jones and Derrick Henry, so that's going to take some things away, but... Interesting. Very interesting.
And you like the Rams to win the division?
I like the Rams, yep.
You like the Rams at plus 190. I like the Niners at plus 190. We'll see who's right coming up in, you know, about 5 months' time. Chase McCabe. You can find most of his work on Darren Donick and Chase weekdays 10 to 2 here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Chaser, fun as always. We're doing the North divisions next Friday.
Yeah. Yeah, fun as always. I'm going to go rewind. rewind the Titans game and watch what little starters are playing, and I'll give you an update on Monday.
You have fun with that, and we'll talk to you next Friday. For Chase McCabe, I'm Ryan Porth. This has been The Money Line, powered by TwinSpire Sportsbook, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.